Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen across the country. Hope you're having a safe and enjoyable Memorial Day weekend. It's that time again for the Doc Talk podcast, hosted by the doctor, Greg Roscoe, live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, over here producing it, playing a little co-host with him from Los Angeles, California. 347-205-9631. Popular show that's picking up steam thanks to the crossover from all the other great shows. Goes by quick. If you miss it, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms wherever you subscribe to now, powered by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. It's more of him, less of me. First of all, Doc, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, boy, this title today is going to be a good one. Sleep apnea.
Well, thank you, Mark. You know, things are good. Health-wise, I'm good. Things in our world are going well everywhere. So a lot of good things. And again, we're blessed with the opportunity for Mancini Media. That people can get a hold of me. Mark, we have a new website. We've changed a little bit what we were doing. And the new web is gjrmd308@outlook.com if people want to get a hold of me. Otherwise, you know, things are good. We're rolling with our Saturday show. Mark, it seems we're gathering quite a following of people interested in what we're saying. So things couldn't be better. You know, the topic
today. Well, I'll
today,
tell you one thing. When I look at what you just said, I think it comes down to three things that tie into everything. The show that you've put together with myself here and getting it out to the listeners each and every week, it comes down to expertise, experience, tied in with the contacts, building it up. And that brings in the knowledge, and now it just becomes a timing issue.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, you have quite a bit of experience in this field, and I think you know the factors that gel, that make things work. And, you know, you keep our listeners very, very interested. So, you know, it's a good mix of things, Mark, and I think it's expertise possibly on both sides of the podcast here, sir.
Right. Yeah, definitely right. And I can't wait to get into this one because this is a big topic that we're going to be talking about today. And then we'll preview as we get to the end of the show what we're going to be talking about next week.
Well, very good. Mark, starting, you know, we've been getting emails. I've been getting phone calls also on some of these topics. And we've had several wanting to know about, you know, they hear about the words sleep apnea. You know, in the medical literature, we use the initials OSA, obstructive sleep apnea. And that's kind of the terminology. You know, sometimes their doctors, their providers will use the term sleep apnea. And maybe our patients don't know exactly what that means, what that's all about. You know, if we start, as always, with our basics, you know, what's the definition here? What are we dealing with? Well, we're dealing with, you know, with a sleep apnea, we're dealing with repetitive collapse of our upper airway during sleep. And I'll say that again, repetitive collapse of our upper airway during sleep. And, you know, what that means, the upper airway being the nose, the soft palate, mouth, and the tongue. Those are the areas that are involved in sleep apnea. You know, we have our nose, which, of course, we breathe through. Our soft palate, which does move back and forth. It has a little guy called an uvula, and that helps our digestion. And then, of course, we have the tongue. And the tongue is a huge muscle that does a lot for us. But in the wrong position, the wrong swelling, wrong irritation, it causes breathing problems. And the issues that it causes are typically two. One is something called apnea, another called hypopnea. apnea is when we actually stop breathing. We actually stop breathing at night. The hypopnea is where our oxygen levels fall. So, Mark, that's kind of the start of this. All right, I think that's a good starting point. And I'm wondering, you know, do you have any listeners that are calling in
yes,
at this point?
Yes, we basically got Sally from Burlington, Vermont, continues to listen to the show each and every week. She goes, wow, this is an interesting one. Basically, with snoring, is snoring tied into this? Because she says basically if she's snoring, you know, her husband will basically say, hey, I heard you snoring. Where does the snoring tie in with the sleep apnea? Great question.
Great question. And, you know, Sally is very right. With regard to snoring, that's one of the main symptoms and signs of this syndrome is loud snoring. And, you know, interestingly, the snoring actually comes from the soft palate, all right, and the uvula. It goes into a vibration, and that creates the noise. It's the uvula soft palate causes the snoring. And again, upper airway obstruction. So that's a very good, you know, point. You know, just going on from that, you know, beside the snoring, we have gasping, choking, snorting, which are part of the syndrome of sleep apnea. And when one has sleep apnea, Mark, this leads to daytime sleepiness. People are tired, fatigued, and overall, they are a little foggy. They tend to have low energy simply because their brain hasn't been resting all night. And, you know, we use the term here, REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement sleep. When we are snoring or have sleep apnea, our brain does not rest. It's awake and, again, leads to this snoring and sleepiness and fatigue. And, you know, you can tell people that have this syndrome, Mark, maybe they fall asleep in church. Maybe we have students falling asleep in school. What about drivers falling asleep while they're driving? All right. And again, that's what started the real study of sleep apnea were truck drivers that were falling asleep at the wheel. The other thing that we see, if you see a lot of people drinking caffeine, if they're really downing 3 and 4 and 5 cups of coffee a day, these people maybe are apneic patients overall. So go ahead.
Ron from Temecula, California, just to follow on that, he's another great listener here. And, Ron, thank you very much for taking time to tune us in this morning. He basically says to follow up on that, the snoring could be with the fatigue level, being up, not getting enough sleep, and then just being drained to the point where you're trying to catch up on that sleep. He also uses the other thing as far as with the sleep apnea, could it be where, you know, as you get older, you know, he says watching TV, you tend to knock out quick and then pop up a couple hours later. Now, I've noticed that sometimes in my everyday living, what this gentleman's going through in Temecula. Any thought to that?
Absolutely. I think, you know, again, well-diagnosed symptoms. Usually when we're in a monotonous activity, and, you know, I mentioned a little bit about maybe school, maybe going to church, maybe even driving, watching TV, all right, we fall asleep, all right? And that really is an indication of the sleep apnea, is that monotonous activities, we're kind of resting, bingo, we actually fall asleep. And that's that daytime sleepiness. So he's on the right track. And he, you know, thinking about our lifestyle and our behaviors, that's one of these symptoms about daytime sleepiness. And, you know, Mark, when we talk about sleep apnea, that's the most common sleep disorder. And, you know, who does it hit? I think that's what we're alluding here to.
Yes.
Older males, menopausal females, children with facial malformations, as extremely large obstructing tonsils. Those are the people that get hit with sleep apnea. Older males, menopausal females, kiddos with, you know, malformations of their face and bones, but also large tonsils and adenoids.
And, okay, you know, so now we're getting more questions, and sorry to jump on you. Tom from Dallas, Texas, basically says you helped him with the oral and mouth last week, and he basically says, great show as always, tries not to miss this. I love it. You need more time. Yeah, we're working on that, Tom. The second thing he says is basically, how dangerous is it if it's left untreated, sleep apnea?
Well, you know what? I have a plan to get into that, and I can take care of it right now. You know, when we're talking about people with chronic sleep apnea or hypopnea, all right, Tom, this can lead. The maladies are high blood pressure, heart failure, pulmonary hypertension, all right? It affects our heart and our lungs and our blood pressure. So these are some of the complications that occur. You know, there are certain entities and some fancy medical names for these, but again, it affects the right side of the heart, which means that as that heart stretches, as the blood pulls in that heart and it doesn't work as well, it affects our circulation. So it is a very serious entity. And again, chronically speaking, it's going to give us a problem. So that we need to work on it. And again, get into our professionals to help diagnose it overall. And he's absolutely right. To be looked at, this needs to be treated. So I like the question. I think it was very, very appropriate.
Well, Brent coming in from now Spokane, Washington, first-time listener, had some friends listen to this show the last month or so. So, Brent, welcome aboard. He basically says he's a little obese, breathes heavy sometimes. Could that push the sleep apnea? Because when you're sleeping, your heart's exerting while you're sleeping, you're breathing heavy. Where would this lead into this whole realm of the topic tonight?
Surely.
Great questions.
Great question. And, you know, as far as we talk about, Mark, with a lot of diseases, we talk about risk factors. You know, what are the risk factors that may cause us to get to a disease entity? And, you know, we have several, and I'll list them, and obesity is one of them. You know, when we talk about obesity, you know, we use the terms in medicine, BMI, our basal metabolic index. And usually the more, and that's a height to weight ratio. As that number gets larger, that indicates that we're more obese. And that absolutely leads to sleep apnea. You know, our older population, 60 to 70, are at risk. Males are 2 to 3 times more prevalent having sleep apnea than females. Another interesting factor are Afro-Americans have a greater chance of having sleep apnea than Caucasians. Just again, very interesting. And one other interesting fact, Asian Americans have a less likelihood of getting sleep apnea than Caucasians, typically because of their thin stature. So again, obesity, or BMI, very important in this entity. So it's one thing, you know, when we talk about some treatment down the road, we have to address this. You know, going on, again, with other risk factors, Mark, are, you know, kiddos, large tonsils, large adenoids, you know, they obstruct. There are some children that have an underdeveloped jaw. Their facial features are very undeveloped. This also leads to apnea. Very few, but indeed it's still one of the risk factors. Smoking. Smokers are 3 times the national average here of getting obstructive sleep apnea.
Well,
you know, Mark, when I was talking, go ahead.
No, you can finish that thought, and I'm getting a load of questions, but, you know, finish that thought, and I want to throw a couple of these questions in.
Sure. Let me finish just a few here on these risk factors, and I'll summarize them quickly. You know, we talked about the areas involved, which is the nose, the mouth, the tongue, nasal congestion, deviated septum, nasal polyps, nasal tumors. These people are twice the national average of getting sleep apnea. People that are on drugs, narcotics, or heavy ethanol users or drinkers, again, develop sleep apnea. We also look at people that have some underlying problems, Mark, either with their heart, congestive heart failure, they have lung disease, they've had a stroke, or even in pregnancy. This can lead to moderate to severe sleep apnea. So, sir, let's go ahead with some more questions.
Okay, Jerry from McKeesport, Pennsylvania comes in and tying in the high blood pressure, and you and I had talked about that. How important is that when you're dealing with the sleep apnea, high blood pressure, you know, because
sure,
that is significant too.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, as far as when we look at our overall health, you know, these entities are not independent of each other. You know, if we have an underlying condition as high blood pressure, there has to be a reason why. All right. Is it obesity? Is it diet? Is it pulmonary disease, kidney disease? And again, when we add to that low oxygenation levels, and that's what sleep apnea is about, Mark, where, you know, we have these pauses in our respiration and low oxygen flow to our parts of our body, Mark, it complicates this sleep apnea. But more importantly, looking at our whole body, it complicates our metabolism, our growth and reconstruction, our healing. So it's, again, a vicious cycle, but it's not one isolated problem, Mark. And that's one thing with, you know, medicine. And, again, you've talked with me about it before.
Right.
That overall, we want to deal with the whole body. We just can't single these things out because they're not independent of our total body function. So go ahead, sir.
Exactly. Peter from Tucson, Arizona said so right. He was diagnosed with sleep apnea, kind of, and diet played a big part of it too. Just had to eat right, bring the pressure down and stuff. So diet is another thing. Try to stay away from the junk foods, the sugar. Takes olive oil and garlic every day to clean out his cholesterol. Wow.
Wow. I think he's on to something. You know, I think you're right. I think, you know, he wants to take care of himself. He wants to maintain the integrity of his body. And again, Mark, we've used the word respect in the past to respect this organism because it's so sophisticated and does so many things for us. But he's right. Diet is so important. And just reflecting on that a little bit, Mark, is weight loss and exercise. That's one of the prime ways to improve sleep apnea and eliminating it. Let's lose the weight. Let's exercise by strengthening our muscles, our blood flow, and then let's eat the good foods that maintain the integrity of this machine. So good luck and keep it up. He's on the right track.
Yeah, and I've heard that, you know, in the past, maybe using some of those to clear out your system, but I think the big thing, we've talked about this in the past too, the fast foods. People can't afford, you know, some of the, you know, they think it's cheaper to go get the fast foods. They put that stuff in their body, all the salt, all the sugars or whatever it is. And these are the things that just keep building up, block the arteries, I would imagine, and cause these significant problems.
Yes.
And for people to get back to that, you know, they got to do an about face, and they got to kind of cold turkey this too. Now, with plain yogurt is good for you.
Well, you know, plain yogurt is good for you, but realize you know, do we have any dairy sensitivities, any digestive issues with dairy? There is a little bit of sugar in yogurt. So, again, it can be a healthful food, but, Mark, you have to look at it with combination of one's whole diet, because you're not going to eat yogurt for all your meals.
Yeah.
So that, you know, eating that as opposed to having a banana split, it's a far better food. All right?
Right.
You know, where you want to combine, yeah, you want to combine the yogurt with fresh fruit. That's positive. All right? And then having, you know, steamed vegetables, having a lean piece of chicken. All right? That's very good for us. But it's the whole picture, Mark, not just one little piece. And I think we've talked about it, and we've told our listeners that in the past.
Yes. And when you look at sleep apnea, Doc, you know, as we wind this show down with about 8 minutes left in it, it's more or less, could be, and now we're getting more questions, can multivitamins play a role in this? If people aren't exercising, if people aren't, you know, taking a vitamin, could this lead to where you have the sleep apnea because you're just sitting around, you're becoming a couch potato? Gosh, we're getting some questions all over the place.
Yes.
That is Gary from Clearwater, Florida.
Well, Gary, I think, you know, overall you're in a beautiful part of the world. You're close to Clearwater Beach. You should be out there exercising. You have a lot of days of sunshine. So that, you know, as far as the vitamins can only do so much as far as helping our metabolism. It's the calories that kill us. So we have to look at the whole picture of what we're consuming, what our nutrition is, and then trying to go ahead, introduce exercise, introduce supplements. But it's not a one pill fits all. It's part of the whole plan of our health care, of respecting our body, of taking care of ourselves. And indeed, by doing that, sleep is a very important part of what our body needs. We need to rest it, our brain, our muscles, our heart. We need to rest these organs, you know, between 6 and 8 hours a day. That's where the sleep comes in, and we want to get rid of the sleep apnea. But it's a matter of using our other aspects here as far as our diet, our exercise, to help maintain a healthy body.
Tyler from Alpharetta, Georgia says, I couldn't have said it any better, Doc. It's like going, he listened to the show on the, you know, the oral and mouth infections. He said, you can't go in there and buy a toothbrush without buying the toothpaste, without buying the mouthwash. It's a complete package. So you got to make sure you're doing all of the above. Wow, is that a good one, Tyler?
Very good. I think he really put it together. And I think, you know, let's take, you know, take this part of our health care, good dental care. And we can talk about dental problems another time as well. We have some expertise there. So indeed, you know, a new toothbrush, toothpaste that is not abrasive and not sugary, and then a good mouth rinse that'll help to kill bacteria. But you've got to watch things like Lavoris, Listerine. If you look on the bottle, they're approximately 29 to 31% alcohol, and it burns the tissue. All right. So again, that'll be another topic, Mark. We could sure look at oral care from a cleansing, flossing, gargling standpoint also, okay?
Wow. So as we put a finishing touch with about 5 minutes left in this, take a couple minutes, we'll wrap up sleep apnea, and then we'll preview after the couple minutes. We'll get into what our topic is next week, Doc.
Our topic, if I can, may I summarize first, Mark, here what we did, and then
sure.
I'll talk about our Bell's palsy for next week. You know, with sleep apnea, you know, apnea, so you know, is the snoring. Periods of silence followed by loud snoring, restlessness. That's what you see, what your bed partner may be doing or watching you. You'll also get choking, gasping, leads to dry mouth. if you're waking up with a dry mouth in the morning, then we got to kind of think about this. Maybe there is some apnea here. The other interesting symptom, Mark, is morning headaches. About 30% of our patients have headaches in the front of their head when they wake up in the morning. That's because of the low oxygen saturation. So if one has these, experiencing these, we need to get to the healthcare professional. You know, there's no easy solution here. And if I can take one more minute, Mark, if we have it, you know, we need to diagnose it. The gold standard for diagnosis here is called a sleep study. The actual medical term is polysomnography. There are home sleep studies and laboratory sleep studies, but you need to see your healthcare professional. If you're having difficulty, again, one way to help is to lie on your side at night as opposed to lying on your back or your belly. And I'll finish up, Mark, by saying please avoid alcohol, drugs, antihistamines, all right, things like that that will suppress our breathing. You know, the entities today to solve this, Mark, are something called CPAP. And I think we've heard of that, central positive airway pressure. And again, a lot of people are using it. It is cumbersome, but it works. Mark, there are also oral appliances that can be made that keep the tongue from falling in the back of the throat. And Mark, just a plug for myself here, there's a procedure we're doing called hypoglossal nerve stimulation, where we actually implant an electrode in the tongue that keeps it from obstructing the throat, that gets rid of the CPAP and the other appliances overall. So there's a lot of technology. There's a lot going on with sleep apnea, but let's start improving, you know, our entire organism by eating better, exercising, and sleeping better.
I'll tell you one thing, I'm getting questions all over the place talking about Lavoris, whitening tooth, mouthwash, compared to, you know, sleep apnea where you kind of shake the person. Hey, are you breathing? They kind of go intervals of, you know, snoring and stuff. It's just simply amazing how many responses we're getting with this show today.
Yes, sir.
I mean, well, we could go hours talking about this, and there's so many questions.
Mark, you know, again, we're out of time, but we can sure talk about Lavoris, whitening toothpaste. We can continue on sleep apnea. And again, down the road, we're going to have a potpourri where we're going to talk about a lot of these topics we never had a chance to complete, but also give you a little more update on them. And again, please keep the questions coming. And Mark, that's all I have for today. We're out of time.
Well, as we wrap this thing up, tell everybody about the nice, great foundation you got there in Pittsburgh, the great people, if they're in the Pittsburgh area, how they can see you. I know some of the people across the country, if they come into Pittsburgh or they got family and friends, maybe they can let them know about, you know, the show and where your great establishment is, my friend.
Sure. Thank you. And, you know, foundation-wise, that's a topic for another day, Mark.
Okay.
As far as Indeed, getting a hold of me, gjrmd308@outlook.com. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, we're a little north of Pittsburgh, you can email us, you can give us a call, 814-375-0455. Thank you very much, Mark, Humancini Media. Thank you, listeners.
Well, I'll tell you, as we wrap this thing up, Doc, I just can't tell you, and if you only knew how many people I speak about this show and how you've helped me on a one-on-one basis, it's just extraordinary. It's genuine. You care. The integrity you bring to it, the experience, the knowledge. This is just something that just sets the bar when we talk about this stuff each and every week, and I appreciate you tremendously, and I'm blessed to produce
this. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Mark.
You're welcome, my good friend. As we wrap this up, guys, he's Dr. Greg Roscoe out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this. Make sure you continue to tell your friends as we got over 300-something live listens. Thank you very much. Keep passing it the word around. And like Doc said, if you're in the Pittsburgh area, check it out. They are extraordinary. Till then, next week, Ball Spelzy, have a blessed weekend. Stay safe on this Memorial weekend as well. We'll talk to you next Saturday, same time, same channel across the airwaves. Have a great one, guys.
Thank you.